You know, last week, I loved in the first, you know, three verses, Paul said, man, we wanted to come and comfort you concerning your faith because they became Christians and it was hard for them. People, this was a time, you know, Christianity's new, so it's kind of a religious killer. You know, that's what Christianity does. It kills a lot of religion and promotes a relationship with Jesus Christ. So Paul says, man, we wanted to come so bad, but we sent Timothy to you. And we looked at Timothy and what he was to them. He said, we wanted to establish you in verse 2 and comfort you concerning your faith. And the main reason for that is because he was afraid that they would be moved. As they were taking a stand, they were afraid that Paul had to leave, that they would be so easily moved. And he said in verse 4, man, I told you guys you were going to suffer. So you hear that in this church a lot, right? That Christianity's tough. You'll probably have it tougher than most people. Whenever you hear something about Christianity being like, you know, I always think of the prosperity gospel, like that your health is going to be good and your money is going to be huge. Be careful of that type of Christianity. Just read the New Testament and go, hey, okay. And some people, God can bless you and give you things that way, but a lot of times it doesn't work that way. You're going to have some suffering because we're going to go against culture. And then look at 1 Thessalonians 3:5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain, man. He goes, I just didn't want this to be an end, man. I didn't want this to be in vain. So I sent to know this for you. So now we're in verse 6. So we're going to hammer verses 6 through verse 13. Ready? Everybody up on your feet, man. Let's stand up for the reading of the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's start in verse 6. Ready? You can read it out loud with me if you want to. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Verse 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and to abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thanks for the book of Thessalonians. Teach us what we need, God. Give all of us like you always do, Lord. You speak so to our hearts and to our souls, and yet we're all in different areas. That's how we know, man, this is a living book. It's your word. And God, I just pray that we are all sanctified, set apart, ready to receive it today. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, man, I'd like to point out a few things. First of all, you know, a key word in this chapter is going to be, of course, faith. It's going to be their faith. And you know what we say, faith? The Bible says what faith is. You know, faith, you know, simply is like what you believe, what you put your trust in. But it's like a conviction of the truth. You know, having faith in Christ, a real belief, a real conviction that this book is true. So imagine these guys, they do not have a completed Bible. Wouldn't that be tough? It would make you a little bit more vulnerable. That's why Paul said, we're sending Timotheus. You know, you guys need somebody. That way, truth is really established. Today, we don't have near this kind of issue because, guys, our Bible is complete and God speaks out of the book you hold in your hand. I want you to know that. Don't look for, people always are looking for like alternate, like additional revelation from God. You ain't going to find it. The book's complete. And the Bible gives several different points on this, just saying no more in Revelation. It says we don't add any more to this book. The Bible is now complete. Now God's work goes on, but now we're bound by Scripture. So just to let you know that, somebody like immediately, you know, we're talking about people like trying to get one over on you, like on the internet. Guys do it all the time and girls do it all the time, where they'll say, you know, well, God gave me a message this morning, or last night I had a dream. You know, I've had people even that claim they have the gift of prophecy, so they'll come to me telling me things. I'm just like, that's weird. Why didn't God tell me, Smokey? You know? Come on. Like, God speaks out of his word, and they're not giving me scripture either. They were just telling me what they thought God was going to say. So I just want you to know, there was a time when the apostles used a lot of that stuff. They had some of these, we call them sign gifts in the Bible, but our revelation's complete today, right? And it's right here. So if the Bible don't back it, you know what we do? It's out. You're gone. Don't line up a script. That's it. It's that easy. The Bible don't back that. And people will say, well, you don't know what I've experienced. You're exactly right. I don't know what you've experienced. That's why if I had a dream and I had some experience, for me to sell you on it that God's telling our church what we need to do, that just becomes kind of bizarre because I'm pretty famous for eating pizza late at night and it just makes me dream. It's not necessarily the Holy Spirit of God. I should say I used to be. I've been pretty good about that for like a week now. So basically, the key word we're going to find here is faith. You look at 1 Thessalonians 3, like look at verse 2. He says this. He says, he says, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. I sent Timothy because I wanted to comfort you concerning your faith. So listen, your belief system that you have, Paul said, I know you guys are suffering and going through tough times. And so I'm sending Timotheus to comfort you concerning your faith. And guys, just to let you know, our faith needs comforted. It's okay to come in vulnerable. Man, I believe the word and I'm standing hard on it. But I'll tell you what, a few times in my life, I've had a few older men come near me and just tell me, you're doing a good job, Mike. There's people that are falling out of the ministry. I just want to thank you. And every time they do that, it just brings such comfort to me concerning my faith. But look at verse 5. He said this, he goes, I sent Timotheus to comfort. And in verse 5, he says, for this cause, I know you guys have suffered tribulation. For this cause, and I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. So our faith does need some comfort. And he says that I sent Timotheus, because I wanted to know your faith. Don't ever buy into the argument that your faith is private. That's a big thing, too. People always think, it's my faith. My faith is private and it's personal. I have my own beliefs. And, stay away from it. And that's somebody that really just doesn't know what they're talking about. It's a very uncomfortable subject. That's why they always tell us, two things you don't talk about, right? One of them has to be religion, Don't discuss that stuff. Yeah, and you know why? Because people sound like buffoons, You can be the most educated gal in the world, and then when somebody starts describing what their faith or beliefs is, they sound like a water buffalo a little bit, what's going on there? Well, they don't know. They just think. So he said, I sent to know your faith, man. I didn't want this thing to crash. Look at verse 6. He brings it up again, but now when Timotheus came from you and us, brought us good tidings of your faith, man. Faith, well, he mentions faith and charity. He says, so Timothy came back, and man, we were concerned. We wanted to comfort you concerning your faith. I wanted to comfort you, but I couldn't be there. So I sent Timothy. I wanted to know your faith. Your faith should be known. Guys, somebody should know where your faith is at this morning. I'm not saying you have to stand up publicly and declare that, but you better have people in your life where your faith is known. And by the way, if you look up faith in the Bible, I'm not even talking about just faith, because most of it say, well, I believe. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the Trinity. Okay, that's your faith. But, at the end of the New Testament, it's mentioned a lot that your faith without works is dead. Your faith prompts you to action. And so that's another thing. It's a point of accountability. But people don't want that. People don't want you near them. By the way, I blew it on announcements. Bo told me, you know what it was? I got this little lip on this shelf, right on this podium, and it hid the bottom of the things. And Bo said, hey, make sure you mention this. Guys, we got our app, and in our app, we got our reading on there. We change it. We change it now and then, so it's just a menu, and you can get to the Bible app from there. And by the way, thanks for reading together. I think it's important we all get to talk about Scripture. That's what I do when I'm with people, and somebody will just say, didn't you like that reading in? And my wife, we're talking more about, the Word, because we're reading in the same place. So I just want to encourage you, church, everybody, get on that app, read. If you haven't done it yet, jump in today. That's how easy it is. The reading's not too long. It's 2 chapters. We're reading through the Bible in 2 years together. So get on there. Go down there. We keep up on there's announcements. There's schedules. If you're in the wherever you're working at, helper, cleaning, all that stuff is on there. There's a prayer wall. The prayer wall is now finally rolling. We've used it a little bit, but now what will happen is every week, basically on Monday, There'll be some prayer requests that are removed off, but right now there's a chunk of prayers on there, and I used it a couple times this week. I got my own prayer list I use in my schedule, my planner, but it's a good spot to go, and you can look, and it'll mention if there's a specific thing about a missionary, little update on, talk to Katie Bartunek, where are you at and all this, how's your cancer treatment going, and little things like that. So anyways, you can turn prayer requests in. We try to keep it like church focused, that type of thing. So anyways, I just wanted to let you know that if you want to, just to let you know, every Monday. And by the way, we try to, when there's new prayer requests, we try to send a notification out, just give you a little text saying, hey, go there. That's just literally saying usually that there's a new one. So anyways, but I don't receive notifications on my phone. I shut all those off. So what I do is I just purpose to go there. I write it in my deal to go there, and I look. And I write it every day. I got a section on prayer, and then I pick a couple days a week where I use the churches when I want to look at specific things there that I might be not connecting with. So anyways, that was just a little commercial. Now let's go back to faith, right? So comfort concerning your faith. I sent to know your faith, verse 6. And man, we received good tidings of your faith and charity. So good news, man. They're doing good. Yeah, they're being rocked, but they're not being moved, you know. That's what these people were. And so in verse 7, I love this verse because it says, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you by your faith. But notice what he said. We were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress. These people were having all this distress and anguish and trouble. And Paul moves on, right? Paul, move on. We got to get this thing going. Paul sends Timothy back, and Paul was already in deep water where he was at. Isn't that awesome? In the midst of Paul's trouble, this is going to preach. In the midst of Paul's trouble, he was more concerned about their trouble. That's a good preaching point right there. Some of us, you get wrapped up, in the mirror, and it's hard to get out. I don't talk about this very much because I don't want you to think I'm bragging or anything, but I took Kung Fu. Seriously, that ain't a joke. But I only did it for 2 months. I do everything for 2 months. I'm really good for 2 months. And the guy that headed up our class, you got martial arts, and sometimes there's discipline, exercise, stretches, technique, all that stuff you can learn. This dude here, he was one of those guys that would get in front of a mirror and put out candles and do this real deep meditation. It was a religion for him, and it was kind of spooky. The good news is my instructor actually met Jesus Christ. He was a Christian. But here's what type of guy he was. Them dummies they got? Not a full body dummy, but it had a shoulder deal, and it was mainly meant for punching. It put it right at height. And he showed me these dummies over there. That, I got in line. he showed these dummies over there, and he says, these are created with the bone structure of human. He said, and the reason I say that is his daughter was my age, and she was beautiful. So you can see why I'm doing Kung Fu, right? And so she goes in there, and she's working, and this girl's been doing Kung Fu since she was Kung Fu, and she was there, and one day she was doing this thing, and she went, kapap! She hit this thing, and she's like, oh! And so we all go up. She broke this thing in three places, man. And we're in high school, and I was just nobody date her. Nobody. One wrong move, and you're done. She'll smash your face in, I tell you this guy did Kung Fu, and he got into the mirror, and what was crazy about it is he got lost. And he said, I started this journey at 6 o'clock at night. And he said, I couldn't figure out where I was, who I was. You just folks in the mirror, I didn't know what was real, what was not. And it ended up being 4 hours later, he broke loose. He goes, I don't know what just happened there. He goes, but, and I my gosh, I think we do that sometimes. You get to looking in the mirror all the time, concerned about you. And just how good, and guys, our world's really pushing this right now. Let me just tell you this. And take it with a grain of salt. If the shoe fits, just put it on. You don't have to, But here's the deal. Sometimes if you can get out of the mirror and focus on the mental health of people you love, your mental health will improve. I'm not saying it's not real and that you don't need to deal with it. I heard a whole message the other day on this. I just thought, my gosh, that message was great because he didn't include scripture. I'm not buying none of it. I'm not taking any of that. even though it was a guy that I said his name, everybody go, I know him. Yeah, very famous pastor. But so, we were comforted over to you by your faith, even though we were in our tribulation. You know, you're like, man, they're doing so good, you know? And then look at verse 10. It's the last time faith appears. Night and day, we were night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Paul desired to perfect, to mature that which was lacking. So I just wanted to see faith in this chapter, verse 2. It needs comfort, and Paul was concerned about it. People will die, man. I'm telling you, they'll dry up. We got to be concerned about this to comfort people. So he sent to know it. Your faith should be known. Paul wants to know their faith. Verse 6, he says, and then Timothy brought news and good tidings. So that's great. Hopefully this is your testimony. There's good tidings. If people spoke about your faith and charity, they'd be like, oh my gosh, that guy, that gal is on it, man. Verse 7, what are they saying about your faith? You know what the people say today? I don't care what they say about my faith. You, my friend, just painted yourself black. That's a black streak. That's what happens. Yet away from what the Bible says, and you're like, back in hiding. Yeah, do you remember it started off in Genesis 3? What happens? And you want to get away from that. So 5. We wanted to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So check this out. Even though they were doing good, like good tidings of their faith, I think we need to take note that in verse 10, their faith was still lacking. I like this because lacking, it's still like falling short a little bit. It's just a little bit deficient. It's behind. So it's possible, even though you've been saved for many and many years, these people here hadn't been saved too long. And even though people would say good things about your faith, Paul's like, but it can be perfected. And that word, you know, don't think of just perfect as much as you think of maturing. That could be growing. That could be, what's God have next? That's real simple. And this is what he's saying about their faith here at the very end is, we still want to come and perfect that which is lacking. So I think it's a good question we can all ask ourselves is, what's lacking in my faith? And maybe God will give that this morning to us. I don't know. But when I outline this chapter, I like to use the word faith because it appears 5 times. Another thing I just want to point out here before I give the 3 points for this morning, and that is, you know, Paul says 3 times, he just said basically like, hey, we are comforted over you. He said, in all of our afflictions, right? He said, look, like verse 7, he said, we were comforted. Remember, he started the chapter out saying, we wanted to comfort you. Now Paul's saying, we are comforted over you in all of our afflictions. So for you today, I hope you, especially if you're a mature believer in this room, if you've been saved over like maybe 3 to 5 years, I would hope you would say, there's people that you are exhorted this morning, man. You are comforted this morning, even though you might not be in the perfect spot, but you're comforted over other people. This is what ministers do. We are comforted over you. And not that you're just concerned about people. The next thing he says is that we live, in verse 8, if ye stand fast in the Lord. We live, he's saying, man, we're alive because you guys stand fast in the Lord. Like, I'm fresh. I feel very encouraged as a minister because of what you're doing and how you're growing. We should all be in that spot where we're getting our comfort and we're getting our life, man, by other people because we're concerned and we minister to other people. By the way, little side note, we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. If you study that phrase in the Bible, stand fast, that means to stand firm. That's what it means. You persevere. These guys are being tortured for their faith. He's like, and you guys are standing fast, man. Like, they're not pushing you over. I'll give you 3 areas real biblical. This is another little side message. A message inside of a message. There's 3 areas where you stand fast. Paul says in Galatians, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. That whole book of Galatians is about people that were adding things to their faith. Do this, you need to do that, you need to be, we call it like a legalism. Things that ain't in there. Well, if you're going to be a Christian, you need to do this. And so, hey, one area we need to stand fast is in liberty. Jesus Christ died for us, we're saved. Sins are taken care of, right? The law's been fulfilled. Don't treat Christianity like a bunch of rules and regulations. Who likes rules and regulations anyways? They're horrible, aren't they? You know, that's why when the government every time, I'm probably being recorded right now. Every time the government wants documents from us and they're like, can you give us all your, and they got all these names for the bylaws and blah, 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 blah. You know, you can just get online and print those rascals out. But I forgot those on page 3, they still put their church's name on it. I'm like, I didn't cut and paste. So like, what, they changed their name? Started off Maple City on the letterhead, and they get in the middle, and it's just like, yeah, Faith Baptist Church in Canada. You know, I'm like, yeah. So now I got to lie and tell them, yeah, that's us too. In Canada, because we want to plant churches, that's what we do. So stand fast in the liberty. Number two, so make sure you're standing fast in the liberty that Christ hath made you free. Even in the midst of your troubles, guys, Jesus, that's why we come and sing and say, this ain't super perfect, but Jesus, my victory is in you. I'm going to look towards you today. The second one you find is in Philippians 1:27. He says, would you stand fast in one spirit and in one mind? We'll cover this a little bit tonight because this is talking about unity. The second place, he says, you stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Don't budge on that gospel, man. You're free because of Jesus Christ. The second thing, you don't forget, in one spirit and one mind. You stand fast there. You persevere. You fight through that. It's really like unity of the body of Christ, of the church together. You stand there, stand fast. And the third stand fast I find in the New Testament, as he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, stand fast, basically hold the traditions that have been passed on to you. And meaning what we find in Scripture, they're being passed on to them. There was traditions they actually had to let go of. But he said, make sure you stand fast in the traditions. Traditions. Guys, there's very few things like, you know, discipline's a thing where, you know, it's one foot in front of another. In the church, we don't have even like a lot of ordinances here. There's only two, I think, that Paul in the New Testament tells us to keep. But, you know, there's good traditions. There's things, you know, isn't it funny? You know what we're doing on Wednesday nights? Praying. Wednesday night prayer service. Guys, when I was a child, that was every week. We had Sunday morning church. Sunday night church was more of a Bible study. Then we had Wednesday night prayer service. Every good church did that. And then churches got cool. And they stopped all of it, you know. And we did too. So we're just like, man, we need to pray. That's a tradition that we got to get back. As a church, we got to pray together. And we're trying things and testing out. We don't know what's perfect. It's hard. It's like, you know, don't always look the best, you know. It's like, but it's a tradition that we need to keep. So anyways, those three things, just want to give you that. Paul says, we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. What do you mean stand fast in the Lord? The first thing you stand fast on is the gospel. If you met Jesus Christ and you know him, you've received me by faith, that ain't going nowhere. Even if you failed this week, even in the midst of major sin issues in your life, stand fast in that liberty. Don't let anybody sell you that you have to be this or be that, right? Stand fast in Christ. The gospel, too. Stand fast in one spirit and one mind. And it says, for the gospel's sake. Ministry, getting the gospel out to the world. Stand fast. Be unified over that. Let's all be of one mind. Execute violently. Three, the traditions that have been passed on to you. So that's standing fast. So Paul says, hey, we were comforted, man. We were like really exhorted by how well you were doing. Then he says, we live if ye stand fast, Lord. Isn't that awesome? We live if you live. You alive, we alive. That's how they felt, like, my gosh. And then he says, and then we joy. He says, we joy for your sakes. And he started talking about here in verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. We have joy in our hearts. So ministers in this room, I hope you feel these three things today. I hope you're comforted in your heart, even in the midst of your trouble, because there's a group or a guy or a girl or some children, some investment you're making that you're like, man, I am exhorted, man. I am comforted in my heart. And they're like, oh, did that issue get straightened out with you? Oh, no, not at all. I'm still in the midst of the Pacific Ocean with no legs. But they're doing good. And I'm so, brings joy to my heart, right? He says, we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. So if other people stand fast in the Lord, you're like, we're alive. I'm alive, man, because of how I'm, my Christianity is fresh because I'm seeing you guys that's taking it on fresh. By the way, disciple somebody. That's what you need to do to get some of these things back because you see them growing and making progress, and it's a beautiful thing. The third thing would be we joy for your sakes, right? We would have joy in our heart, and we're praying because of, you know, he just says here, because of how well you guys are doing before God. Okay. Whew. Now all that's done, I'm going to give you 3 points to the message today. Basically, these are three actions that Paul wants to encourage this church to take real serious. And the 3 points are going to be faith, love, and holiness. And it starts in verse 10. So in verse 10, he says, you know, night and day we're praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might, watch this, perfect that which is lacking in your faith. An action that wanted to be that Paul wanted to take was, he says in verse 10, as he said, so that we can be there, we want to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So that's it. We wanted to perfect. That word perfect means to be complete or to mend it, like to render it, to make it like growing, moving, maturing. We want to mature that which is lacking in your faith. Wherever you guys are at, wherever you're behind, wherever you're deficient, we want to make sure that we come and meet you there. Wherever it's leaking out in your life, we want to come and mend that spot and make sure that it doesn't do that. And that's our baptism, right? We pull out that jacuzzi, and then, you know what we had to do? We owned that jacuzzi 1 month, and we had to go buy these patches because all the time there was that outer ring of air. And I don't know who did it and what kids or whatever, but, you know, it don't matter. We have to patch that thing. And that's what he said. We want to come and perfect. We want to make sure that we mend that spot. That, well, there's a leak there in your faith, what's lacking. So that's the first action, is we all need to make sure that we are maturing where we're lacking. And guys, we always have lack. You know, don't worry about it. That's no sweat there. If you had to be perfect to come in here, of course, we're all perfect in Christ Jesus. But while he's inside of us, it's like, man, I got a treasure inside of me. But you know what's on the outside? This freaking earthen vessel is what's on the outside. And I do not like it. We read it this morning in Romans. It, man, I'm like, this law of sin. I'm fine, man. And I know where I'm at in Christ Jesus. But I got a battle going on in my mind. And it's because of this flesh. I can't get victory. And it's Paul's working it, man. And I was like, that's my life. So let me point out a few things to you here. He says to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So our faith, man, what we believe, our convictions in our life, and man, we need these things perfected. Even back in the Old Testament, Paul would constantly tell, he told Abraham, he says, Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Grow, dude. Start heading in this direction. That's what you do, right? And he says, to be perfect. Did you know Deuteronomy 32 says, God is the rock. He is the rock and his work is perfect. His ways are perfect, Samuel says. So let me give you a couple easy things to maybe remember about this. Is Psalms 19 and verse 7. It says that the law of the Lord is perfect. God's word is perfect. Then it says, converting the soul. It converts, it changes, it transforms the soul, because this book is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. And if you can, with me, turn to Psalms 119. It's kind of right in the middle of your Bible. The longest, the largest chapter in the Bible, Psalms 119, verse 96. David says this, Psalms 119, verse 96. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Love that verse, man. I have seen an end of all perfection. Everything has an end, right? I've seen an end of all perfection. There's one thing that I haven't seen the end of, and you know what it is? Because the law of the Lord is perfect. This book's perfect. So when Paul tells him, I want to perfect that which is lacking in your faith, he wants to take what's perfect and bring application to it to perfect their faith. It's that simple, gang. The goal is to be like Christ. So when you get saved, we take the perfect word of God, and that's why we just emphasize getting the word, man, every day. Getting the word every day. We want you in the Bible. That'll change your life. Develop that habit. Getting the word every day. That's what discipleship's all about, right? So all of us, even have been saved for years, you know what I do every morning? I get in the word every morning. I read. I try to journal, write down what God has given me, put this in there, because the goal for me is perfection, is for maturity. He said, I want to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And in their faith, you know what was lacking? Well, the word of God wasn't complete back then, so he was bringing it, man. That's exactly what they were bringing. He's writing this letter. You know what he's doing? He's bringing it. He sent Timothy to bring it, man. Bring it. Give these guys perfection. The goal is to be like Christ. Now, check this out. Let me take you to a few spots in the Bible. If you're quick in your Bible, we're going to flip a little bit. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. I love where it says, you know, Paul says in verse 11 that he gave basis and pastors and teachers. But he says in verse 12, why did he give pastors and teachers? You know what verse 12 says? For the perfecting of saints. Teachers of the word of God. He gave the Bible and he gave teachers of the Bible to perfect the saints. And then notice what it says next. Why do the saints need perfected? For the perfecting of the saints. Next, for the work of the ministry. You got to perfect and get mature so that you can do the work that God has called you to do. Very mission driven. He says the same thing in 2 Timothy 3:17. Oh, thou man of God, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly what? Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The man of God may be perfect, that he can grow in his maturity, so he can be furnished for what? The good works. There's the accountability. We keep asking the wrong questions. It's funny, guys. Anytime I have confrontation with people, I'm not lying. I have confrontation with people. We get together, and I'll tell you what's very common said to me. And it's a good thing. It's just not the best thing. It's just like, I'm in the Word, man. I'm in the Word, man. Like every day, my time in the Word's been better than ever. Well, actually, when we're dealing with issues of life and issues of our faith, it's our faith being acted out. It's the faith that we get perfected in that leads us to the works. It's actually an accountability that's a step further. The question is never, are you in the Word? But is the Word in you? Because then it's your fuel that you're acting out. It's an accountability thing. It really is. It's a thing that probably scares some people away, because faith without works is what? Non-effective. It does not work. So when Paul says, guys, we want to perfect that which is lacking in your faith, don't think like, perfect, what do you mean? I know the Bible. I've been saved for 10 years. I've been in the Word almost every day for 10 years. It don't mean that there ain't a hole. There's a little chip. Paul says, I want to come and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Every time you study faith, you're always going to find a spot where this faith is going to require some feet. Right? Your love is always going to require some boots, somewhere where charity can really live itself out. So he says, I want to encourage you guys, because I really want to perfect that which is lacking in your faith, even though it don't mean you're smoking crack cocaine. It don't mean that you're looking at porn. It don't mean that. It don't mean that you're into meth. It doesn't say that at all. He just says, man, good tidings about your faith. We want to come and make sure that we can perfect that which is lacking. There's still a lack. There's a little deficiency over here. And so you need that. And so that's what you do. You ever, you know, Rima, it reminds me of the guy in prison seen here recently, and they gave him some yard time, and it was so dark and dreary, and one day the sun came out, and I watched this guy, man, he was drinking it up out in the yard, like, wow, it's like that vitamin, man, it's getting him the light. You could just see it. It was helping him in his countenance. And I thought, oh, it's kind of similar. Like, we bask, and yes, we get in God's word, but we're held accountable, man. Soak that stuff in. Make sure that's affecting the way that I work. It affects what I do for my work. Hey, we read it here last week. I think it was Acts 18, wasn't it? Aquila and Priscilla ran into Apollos. This guy was teaching the word. You know what the Bible says? Acts 18, 26. Even though Apollos was mighty in scriptures, it took Aquila and Priscilla to expound the way of God more perfectly. To have a dude that's mighty in scriptures. Is it possible that Apollos knew like more of the Bible than Aquila and Priscilla? But since this was new and the Bible's being out, Aquila and Priscilla were on it. And so, but they were able to expound the way of God more perfectly to him. Because he knew a lot of good information, but when has information changed the world? You know why mental illness is an all-time high? Yeah, I don't know either. Let's move on. I think one reason why is, guys, wouldn't you think with like the flood of the internet and the information we have, I mean, guys, all the studies and the things that we know out there, you would just really think like that we could get on top of this, because somehow in my mind, this evolutionary theory, that we would just keep advancing and advancing and advancing and advancing and get through some of this. And now with the flood of information that we know, and not technology, even just on the end of science, you would just think that, my gosh, we would all be like awesome, healed, better, cured, and yet all this information flooding, and we're like, Still struggling. Because to know it, like to know the information, that doesn't fix it either. That's because the Bible says that's not the problem with man. The problem's way so much deeper in that. It's not even about motivation. It goes a little deeper. And that's why Jesus had to explain it. He goes, yeah, that's why sometimes what goes in, it comes back out, right? Because there's something deep inside the soul and psyche of a man. Boy, do we need Christ, don't we? And to have somebody that's just concerned about where I might be lacking is pure bliss and joy. He said, we want to come and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. In your faith, we want to see you get your deficiencies met where you're deficient. Let's get that up to par, right? Look at the second thing I want to point out as an action here. Is it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all man, even as we do towards you. Number two is the first action, perfect lacking in your faith. Perfect what's lacking in your faith. What's lacking? Have somebody that can perfect, render, take you. Have somebody that's in front of you, somebody that's helping you on. Somebody, you know. And it's nice to have equals, don't get me wrong. But it's really nice to have somebody that's just a little further in this area, and I can say, hey, I'm ready for this. Second thing he says, I want to make sure that you increase and abound in love. In love, because he mentions that their faith and charity had just a good reputation. So now we're going to talk about love, man. Love. We got our faith. We place our faith in Christ. But he says, guys, something you need to, as you mature and as what you were deficient in your faith, as you begin to grow, you know what else needs to grow as Christians? Your love to people. Love. And I don't know why it is. Some of the people I know that have affected my life and have taught me the Bible. You know what's happened to them? They've learned the Bible. They taught me the Bible. I respect them. Some of them even have big titles like in their names because they're very, very educated people. And some of these people I've noticed, they are nasty. It's like they see the truth, and even when they preach, it's just almost like they're rough with it, man. They're mean with it, and yet you see in the Bible, he's like, you know, yeah, your faith, you definitely need to perfect that which is lacking, but also the Lord needs to make sure you're increasing and abounding in your love, man. We should be serious lovers, right? I like those words, increase and abound. They like mean the same thing, increase and abound. If I would say anything, I'd put them together and say, I want you to super abound, man. That's what you, like super de-duper, man. Get after this. Increase in your love. That's what needs to happen. Increase. Get after it, right? And I'm reminded of, I'm in a bad spot right now with my fireplace, just to let everybody know. My bad spot is this. I got wood that ain't quite dry enough, but it's all I got, and I want a fire anyway, you know? And so what's really crazy is you can get pre-lit logs and put them in there. And they're super expensive if you want it to burn for like 4 hours, so I end up getting the cheap ones because I'm like, I don't have that kind of money just to waste to have a fire, you know? So... But I've noticed you put it in there, and if you just put one of them in there, it's nice and vibrant for a bit, but I'll tell you what, after a while, you're just like, you're wasn't so bad to add wood to it to get a real fire. And I don't want it even for warmth as much as the looks. I like that type of thing. But just to let you know, lone logs go out much quicker. They're just alone. When you can get others and they feed off of each other, and then before that goes out and you can get another big one on top, and then it's just a nice process to have. And so I think I feel this in our lives. Guys, we need each other. This is an area that we need to increase and abound. And he says this in verse 12. I want you to increase and abound in love. Watch this. One toward another and toward all men. And the example is this, our heart towards you guys. So guys, to the church right here, there should be immense amount of love in this room. Immense amount of love. You walk in this room, and this is a place where you're loved, you're accepted. People don't even care necessarily, you know, what you do for a living. They love you for you, you know. And you should have a group of people in here. And if not, here's the message today. Then super abound in that area. Do whatever it takes. Increase more and more. He'll say that in the next chapter about love too. Hey, brotherly love. He says, love one another. Increase it more and more. Increase more and more. And people are like, I think I'm pretty good in love. Increase that more and more. More and more. More and more. More. You know, that guy just loves too much. Nobody on the planet's been accused of that, have they? Man, I just love too much. That's the problem, you know. And anyway, I love it when people, I love people to tell stories about their dog or their cat that they lost, you know, and they cry tears, and you're like, how ridiculous is that? Some furry animal, you know, but, you know, they become part of your lives, don't they? And the problem is when you love so much that you're just like, son of a gun, you know, and this is why you grieve greatly, is because you loved much. And he says here for each other, guys, make sure your love abounds more and more. I wanted to make one good point here. And the point is this. Do you guys remember this verse? I'm just going to quote it. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12, where he says, "And iniquity shall abound." So when iniquity abounds, when what's not right abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. When sin abounds. And guys, every time I mention sin, just don't immediately think like, I don't smoke cigarettes. Don't think of like that. For you and me, once you mature, you know what sin becomes for me? My heart, my mind, the way I think. You know, it's like areas that are just deeper. It's just not, you just can't fix that easy, it seems like. There's a deeper problem here. So, but he's talking about the tribulation period, and when iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So just great examples here, and this is the point I wanted to make, that I tell you who I learned this from, is Shane Crawford. I was talking about the church one time and talking bad about the church, negative about the church, and Shane just said to me, he goes, you know what, Mike, that's always a sign to me. He goes, when I'm not right with the Lord, and like my faith is not increased, I'm not encouraged, he goes, I start bad-mouthing the church. I can see it in my love. And I was like, Shane, that's good. That's good. And because sometimes when I allow sin and the negative to just go in my life, I find myself not in love with the people that God's called me to do life with, you know, which is you. And so just that's the point I wanted to bring up there. Let's make sure we increase in love and abound in love. And everybody always says that, you know, like you can't wait for the day or when this ends that you can do this. You know how it is. And then that day comes and you sit back and you're like, you know what? I don't love like I did back then. How does this happen? I want my love to abound and increase, but there's something about life and I end up getting jaded. I don't love it at all, you know? Boy. It's like the Word of God. You know, I want to know it, man, but and I want to get it, and I want to learn it. I want to live it. And guys, the number one chapter in the Bible, the middle, longest, biggest chapter in the Bible, you know what it's all about? Loving the Bible. Loving the Word. Jesus, I want to love you, man. I want to have such a love that don't burn out. And then the best sign that I got that right is that I love people. I love people. But when the other is waning or failing or not doing very well, I find that's why Paul, I think Paul says, hey, I want to come perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Because we can do that. We can teach the Bible. We can give the Bible. We can keep you accountable to that. And then I'm going to pray that the Lord, he'll increase and abound your love one toward another and towards everybody else. There's people we all don't like very well, isn't there? And so what happens is, you know, when that seed falls on the good ground, the Bible says it yields fruit and it springs up in an increases, man. It abounds. That's what it does. So let's me and you this morning, maybe God, I need to increase and bound, do this in my heart, in love towards people. It'll go a long, long way. And last of all, and we're done, verse 13. He says, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of the saints. So the three action parts are going to be in 10, where he just says, I want to perfect what's lacking in your faith. Then the Lord can make you increase and abound. So perfect, mature, however that goes down. Now I want you to increase and abound in your love. And now he says that the Lord may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. 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 Purity. God's character. When you mention the character of God, you know the first thing, bam, righteous, bam, holy, because we're not, right? So that's who he is. And so that he can establish our hearts unblameable in holiness. Man, there's a lot we could say about this, but I love the word establish. Because the heart is fickle. And here he wants to make sure the heart is firm. When I say firm, don't say just like hard. No, no, no. Fixed. Tender and soft. It don't move. I know what I should be focused on. Got my faith. I want to abound in my love. And he says, then establish your hearts, but unblameable in holiness. We need to be holy. God's character of purity, right? Paul says, Colossians 2, be rooted and built up and established in your faith. The Lord will establish you, in verse 3, we read this here, and keep you from evil. That's what it says in 2nd. I was thinking it was 1st. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. The Lord will establish you and keep you from evil. Keep you from evil, what's that? Well, the opposite of that would be holiness. He's keeping you from evil because you're established, fixed. He keeps you from going that way. Isn't that good? And it's all, he says, man, because the Lord's coming back. The Holy One's coming, and I want you to be established. I want you to be fixed, and I want you to be firm. And your heart's unblameable in holiness. Nobody can blame you. That you're doing what you're doing, and you're doing it because you're holy. It's pure, right? We know what the word blameless means. We talk about that word a lot here. It just says blameless. You're not going to be blamed. You're going to be free from fault. Nobody can look at you. And you're going to be holy. You're going to walk as God would have you to walk, right? You got your faith in order. It's growing. You're increasing and abounding in love. And now you can say, man, I am becoming more and more like Jesus. To establish my heart unblameable in holiness. Two verses on holiness. And by the way, that word blameless, I want you to know two things can happen here. God will do his work to make you blameless. Paul teaches this. But also, there's things you can do to be blameless. I think holiness is a very similar thing. That God will work it for sure, but he says you make sure you're diligent that you can be found with no spot when he comes back. You be diligent. Philippians 2:15, this is a crooked and perverse nation. You be blameless. You stick out like a sore thumb. And you know what we want to do in our culture? We don't want to stick out like that. We want to do the blending thing. That's what Babylon means, right? It's a mixing. It's a blending. And yet people can look and just say, it's a good girl. That's a good guy right there, isn't it? Yeah, and then we leave thinking, man, it's all I could ask for, right? No, that's not all we could ask for. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says that God gives us promises. And then he says this, so that you can perfect holiness in the fear of God. God gives his word and his promises, and so we can do what? Be like him. We can perfect holinesses, right? And 1 Peter, you know what he says? Hey, guys, here it is. Be holy, for I'm holy. Follow Jesus. That's holiness. So do you see the three things? The three things he's encouraging, the action in this chapter? The action in this chapter, he just says, perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Let's own it. Two, make sure that we're increasing and abounding in love, just like this church. We need it. Maybe that's an area God's speaking to you on this morning. And last of all, establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. You can live a holy and a pure life. Live with God's character, because he ends it by saying, because Christ is coming back. The Holy One's going to come back right now. So let's own these things, right? Because we want to be a people. We want to be a church that's fixed and stands firm. So let's pray. Let's all bow our heads and pray over this thing. First of all, while we're all praying, bowing your heads, if there's anything you need to deal with it. And now it's time. God loves us so much, he spoke to us. He's speaking a word this morning to us. And so just deal with it. If there's anything, you're like, well, gosh, yeah, that one kind of, you know. And here's another way you can find that. If something irritated you this morning, sometimes it's the irritants that I sit back and say, you know what God's saying? Hey, deal with that. Take off your shoe. Take off your sock. There's something in your sock pricking your foot. See that, how that works? So sometimes when something irritates you, the best thing to do is just take a seat. Pull off your shoe, pull off your sock, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's just a little piece of gravel in my shoe. Yeah. Great. Ain't that awesome? Ain't you felt the irritation, so now you deal with it. That's how it is, man. That's how we're growing. So let's just deal with it. And if some of you in this room, you're not a Christian, man. This ain't no motivational message necessarily to make your life better. We're talking to people of faith this morning, people that we know Jesus Christ. And we want you to know him too. And so that's I want to give that message, that the good news is that Jesus Christ took us in our sinfulness. Man, he bled and died for us. He loves us, man. He loves you so much. And he wants you to avoid judgment because of your sin. So let him take it. Let him take it. He already has. You just need to own it and say, okay, Jesus, I need you in my world. I need you in my life. So if you need Christ today, if you're convicted in your heart, you're like, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Yeah, because a Christian is about what Christ has done. It's not based on what you have done. You're born bad, right? You're born this way. Not only the Bible say that, Lady Gaga said that, didn't she? Yeah, we're born that way, so we need some help. We need a Savior. So does anybody in here need a hero this morning? Is anybody in here, would you like to meet Christ this morning and become a Christian? It's simple. It's hard because you got to humble yourself, but it is a simple thing because Jesus did all the complicated work. So if anybody in here would need Christ, I'd like to show you in the Bible. I'd have somebody else show you in the Bible, but get my attention right now. Give me a wiggle, man. Just raise your hand or look up at me and say, hey, I'd like somebody to sit with me and show me in the Bible what it says about being a Christian.